Zilly Holiday, or Zach, as I've known him my whole life, is a beats producer and rapper. Final test to your brain. Cartoons out the trunk, the whole swamp in the drain. Bitch, I got it out the mud, I jack sun like Jermaine. For a Citizen K, hit the pedal, touching keys, but I never sustain. Although I enjoy his rap music quite a bit, I listen mostly to sample mixes because it's the perfect music for writing or editing videos. In this episode, I learned a lot about the music-making process, overcoming negativity in a small town, and ultimately, what it means to make it in this space.
You're listening to Bored with Nelly.
The weather here, actually, the last few days has been abysmal. Like, it's rain and cloudy, but normally it's 25 and sunny. Like, every fucking day. Like, December 25th this year was Christmas, and it was like, I was wearing a t-shirt outside. It was too hot.
Oh, man, that sounds beautiful.
Are you jealous?
Dude, it's like negative 14. Like, it doesn't even make sense, bro. It doesn't even make sense.
But it's like, you're probably not distracted as much as I am. You probably can just... No?
I don't know, bro. Like, I'd rather be outside than inside, you know, just surrounded by all these screens all the time.
I don't know. Like, it's, I thought, like, when I moved to Spain, like, I would just be so hyper-focused because I'd have so little distraction. I mean, I have friends here as well, but I have less friends here, obviously, and so I have less distractions. But it's quite the opposite. Like, I have so much things I could do here. There's something every day going on, so...
Bro, Spain is also, like, a skateboarder's mecca.
Like, is it?
I don't know if you see skateboarders around, but there's so many spots there, bro. I don't think, like...
I've seen parks, but I didn't know it was, a big deal.
Dude, that's amazing. Like, if I went there, I'd be like, look at that bench. Look at that fucking manual pad. Look at those stairs. You know what I mean? Just... things that average people like just walk past and don't even
right. Like, we got a lot of parks. We got consider, a lot of parks.
Bro, that's sick. Lots of parks, nice weather. Ugh.
How would you get anything done though? That's the problem. Like, you'd be out skateboarding.
Nah, facts. Yeah, facts, man. Goddamn.
We haven't talked in a while. We went to high school together many years ago, it feels like. I've got white hairs, bro. That's how old we're. I'm getting that old, so.
Yeah, I got some white chest hairs now, too, bro.
Oh, no way.
I'm not kidding. Literally, like, what was it? A couple weekends ago, I was looking. I'm like, God damn, what the fuck? Yeah, I don't know, dude.
I didn't know time. That was a thing at that age. I didn't know.
It's so weird, bro. Like, time and just experiencing what has gone on these past, like the our 20s.
Right.
You know, just like, just flew by, bro. You don't even know. You don't even pay attention.
You don't even realize it, yeah. And your time's up. That's when you start figuring out life and the time's up.
Right? And then you're like, well, now I got to start living. Why didn't I just fucking realize that fucking when I was 20, not caring about shit?
Right. When we were younger, I don't know. Did you... Now you make music that I really enjoy. I've been listening to
albums. Thank you, bro. I appreciate that.
22, Robin Zilliams, Cypher. Yep. Cypher was right. Like, yep. I've enjoyed all of those. They've been like kind of my background music as I'm like writing out scripts or video ideas.
Dude, that's amazing, bro. I love that.
There's only a few types of music I can listen to while like working.
Yep.
And yours falls into that. Like, it's perfect. Like a soft melody. It's not, I don't know how to explain it. I don't want to like butcher what you're doing, but like,
no, I got you.
I can tell you how I interpret the music. It's not overpowering in a way that I have to stop what I'm doing and listen. It's not like rap. It's not like something else.
Right.
But it's just the perfect amount to like spark a little creativity and keep me like locked in a zone where I can.
Hell yeah, type. Bro. And like the best part is like, I could consider myself a sample based producer, but my favorite thing about that is like discovering new music that Like, I wouldn't, like, from the 60s, 70s, 50s, things that we would never even knew existed. And then, like, I'm able to, like, chop things up, interpret it in a new way, and, like, shed light on, like, music we wouldn't even known to have existed. You know what I mean? So that's the beauty of it, is, like, for me, is I love discovering music from the past, music from the present, stuff that, like, we don't even know exists, bro. It's sick to hear your interpretation from that, because for me, that's mine. You know, it's the dig, it's the search, it's the discovery, you know, and then being able to take that and make something new and then have people interpret it their own way, dude. That's why I do it, bro. That's,
I mean, I find the relatability in some ways when I, like, make, like, a funny sketch and I, like, write a joke out, or I have a funny video, and there's a part of the sketch where I actually don't think it's that funny, but someone else will watch it and be like, oh, that's my favorite part. I'm like, really?
Bro, okay. Bro, that's, you know? That's, like, I would say 70% of the time someone will hit me up and be like, dude, I love that track. And, like, to me, it's like, I fucking hated that track, bro. Right, what are you talking about? Like, it's crazy, bro. Yeah, so that right there shows me that it's just, like, don't get too boggled up on, like, what I think.
Sure.
It is, you know what I mean? Just produce, put it out. People are going to interpret it how they want to interpret it. And I can't do anything about it. You know, all I can do is just do what I'm doing, have fun with it, and fucking go from there, you know?
Obviously, I love music. I would be honest, I listen mostly to rap, but you're the first music-based guest I've had. I've never had, like, a person that creates
music or a musician.
It's a little bit of a scary dive for me to just try to have a conversation about something that, I mean, I love music, but I'm not, like, in tune with how, yes, like, teach me about sampling, teach me about how you got started, all that stuff. That stuff seems interesting. I mean, everything's interesting if someone's passionate about it.
Yeah. I mean, but that's okay, though. You know, you should be able to interpret it how you want to, with or without whatever knowledge you think you don't have. You know what I mean? That's what I like about it. I think there shouldn't be any, you know, like, don't talk about it if you don't know anything about it. You know what I mean? But with sampling in particular, I always go back to this one time, I don't know, third, fourth grade, where I remember, like, my math teacher, she said something, and then the way that she said it was kind of rhythmic. So I, like, looped it. I remember as a kid, like, she said something, and then I kind of looped it back in my head. You know what I mean? To, like, where it would sound, where what she said sounded cool to me at the time. And that's kind of where I always, like, talk about where I started, is when I would, like, hear things in the world that sounded rhythmically nice to me. And then I would just kind of, like, play it back in my head. You know what I mean? I love this. This is sick. And then that's when I discovered, like, sample-based producers like J Dilla, Knowledge, Madlib, all these guys who were not so much, like, producing their own original, like, piano music, drum music, anything like that. They were all sample-based producers who would sample off of vinyl. Like, that's how it started. It was, like, sampling off of vinyl, taking something and, like, chopping it up, slowing it down, pitching it up, doing, like, using what machinery that we have at our disposal to manipulate this audio into something totally new. You know what I mean? So it's
like a piece of clay. You can mold it in anything.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, I guess, I started sampling, like, maybe when I was, like, 20, I started, like, dabbling into it and stuff. I wasn't, like, really serious about it. And that's when I was, like, skateboarding way more in life too. I was just skateboarding all the time. So I would probably make, like, one beat a year, two, three beats a year, nothing crazy at all. Like, literally, like, I'd spend all my time skateboarding, bro. And then I think it was, So then I started obviously writing a lot in my early 20s, like, trying to, like, make songs and stuff and rap. I wasn't really producing at all. And it wasn't,
What did you think you wanted to do before that point? Like, did you have any, or were you just kind of trying to figure it out,
bro? Okay. So just quick,
I want to know where you were going to end up.
I always think about this too, bro. Like, you know how in, like, grade school, they'd be like, all right, kids, write down what you want to be when you grow up. on the chalkboard or whatever. And this is so, it's kind of like, I don't know, this is bad, but funny at the same time. So I wasn't good at spelling, third, fourth grade, whatever. I put up raper on the chalkboard. Like I added an extra P or something, God. But I wanted it to be rapper, or I might have forgot a P. I don't know. Yeah. You know what
that's
I mean?
A sketch. But that's a good sketch.
Isn't that, that's, it's,
yeah, it's so
bro.
Funny.
Like, dude, I'm fucking third, fourth grade. I didn't know, right? But it just stuck with me, dude. That stuck with me, that funny ass moment. But it was ever since a young age, bro. I just wanted to be a rapper, artist, musician. You know what I mean? Young age. And so, yeah, dude, it was always about music.
How do you tell people that, though? How do you tell people, how do they, especially from our small town, where, like, if you're going to do anything outside the box, you're very,
yeah.
I wouldn't say you're kind of frowned upon, not frowned upon, but you're just not encouraged. It's like, it's such an unrealistic dream.
Oh, 100%, bro. And it's just, it's still a constant battle of just not paying attention to anyone's.
Yeah.
Like, I
want that's a hard thing to do.
I want to say, like, but you know, as I got older, bro, I kind of noticed that it's kind of just, it's a human thing. And like, I can't blame them for feeling that way. You know what I mean? Where it's like, you got to get a job. Why are you putting so much time into this? You know what I mean? It's like, it's always just, it's a blue collar city, bro. I'm not about to be like, why aren't you this way for me? You know what I mean? It's like, I'm just going to do me, and I know that the world is beyond these borders of this town. You know what I mean? And
it's
like
the Truman Show. It's like the Truman Show.
Bro, one of these days I'm waiting for a fucking light to fall from the sky. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm just like, so it's important for me too to like step out of those bounds, you know, and go to Toronto, London, Detroit. Detroit is fucking like those are the communities that I want to be a part of, you know? And I do like go there from time to time when I can. And I realize that I have the choice to be around like-minded people. You know what I mean? Like you have a choice to do that. And like, as I got older, as I started realizing that, like, dude, nobody's going to care about you more than you. So, like, why am I trying to be this thing for that person?
You have a twisted reality that you think people care when they actually don't.
Oh,
like,
bro.
You're irrelevant in everyone's mind.
Bro.
99.9% of the time.
Bro, like, Nelly at 10:34 p.m. at night is not thinking about what fucking Charlie down the road is doing.
You right, know what I mean? Right. Like, makes no sense to think that way.
Dude, so I really just had to let go of all that, man, and just realize, you know what? Yeah, life is short. Just do what you enjoy doing and don't try to please anyone but yourself, bro. What's the point, you know? And like you said, coming from this city like this, it's tough because you're surrounded constantly by that.
It's like a pull. It's like you're a crab in a barrel and the other crabs are trying to pull you in, but you have to remind yourself that you can get out of a barrel. Like you can do your own thing.
Yeah,
you're
dude.
You're just stuck there by your choice.
Exactly. Yeah. And not like, yeah, being like, why me? Why me? There's
right.
It's just like, dude. Yeah. So anyways, back to like, it was really the pandemic that brought me to producing more because like when we weren't, you know, going to anyone's houses or anything, I didn't have like a producer friend anymore. I didn't have any like one's house that I could go to and record on their music. So I really just had to learn for myself and be like, well, I kind of know how to chop up samples. I could, you know, like kind of just continue doing this. And hopefully down the road, I'll be able to learn enough to make my own beats, produce my own music, and record my own vocals. Like these are still like things I'm trying to learn right now. And so last year I didn't really post any, like I have a lot of projects in the tuck right now because last year I was focused on making and getting better. I wasn't like, I'm not going to put out like, I was like, I'm not putting anything out. I'm just going to produce, try to get better. And then next year, if I have enough, I can start putting stuff out. You know what I mean? So that was the main focus for me, dude. And now I'm at a point where it's like, okay, I got a shitload of beats, music, time to just let it all go. You know what I mean? Because I'm literally playing it 24/7. I'm like getting bored of these beats now. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm getting like weekly or monthly notifications on my Gmail that you're dropping something on Bandcamp. I'm like, my man's dropped like three different things in 3 months. Like, how is he doing this?
Bro, I'm just, that was the goal, is like make enough so that I don't have to worry about like falling into each release, right? Because that's what was happening with like releasing music. It was like every time I kind of just felt like I was falling into a release. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, made the beat, wrote it. All right, let's put it out. And like, there wasn't like any plan to it. You know what I mean? It was just like, yeah, it didn't really feel. And then like, you build up those expectations of like, this is sick, I love it. And then when you don't get,
yeah, what is a successful, I know, launch, or what is your expectation of a good,
bro, to me now is just putting it out. That's the success. You know what I mean? Just putting it out. And like, my lady and I, we were having this conversation about like consistency, and like, I never really committed to the consistency. It was always just like, all right, I put something out, I'm gonna chill now. Cause I put something out, you know what I mean? I'm chilling. And like, I wouldn't even tell myself it's time to chill. It was just what would happen. You know what I mean? I would put something out and I'd be like, all right.
Did it. Job done.
I did it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Without like.
Relatable. Very relatable.
Without like being like, okay, you know what? I posted something. I only got 2 likes, but that's not the point. I'm not about to get disappointed by it. Only 2 people saw it. The goal should be to commit to the consistency of, you know, let's just say,
improving your craft and uploading your craft.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And not getting like, cause I'm an overthinker, bro. I'll overthink. I'll make something. I think it's sick. And then I'll be like, scrap it. I don't want it. You know what I mean? So
yeah. Of course. Of course.
So I just have been trying to learn to let go of that. You know what I mean? Because it's like,
it's a long pursuit. It's a very long, I think there's a lot of similarities between like trying to make content or videos or podcasts or something that's in some form creative. It's a long, long, long journey. Like, even if it doesn't go well today or in the next 5 years, you're building a skill set. And exactly. As I've gotten older, I've realized the value of the skill set is sometimes a little harder to see, but almost always pays off. Like, almost always pays off.
And that exactly is it right there. The being harder to see and like being stubborn with that. Cause that was like my early 20s is like, you're so stubborn. You just want it now. You don't even have the ability to see that further ahead. So you're like, I don't want to commit to this. Like,
it's because you're taught like, do A, get B. But exactly. Sometimes, and if you're in a non-traditional pursuit, it's more like do A for a long time, and then maybe C and D pops up out of nowhere that you didn't even know about, and that's your payoff.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So that's why I'm like dropping so frequently is these tapes, is because, yeah, at some point, something's going to happen. And that right there is the pursuit now, is the goal. You know what I mean? Is like, stay committed to consistently making music every day. Just open up the program. I don't have to make something crazy. It's just, I win if I open up the program and I'm in there for a little bit. That's it. You know, so
there's a really good Big Sean line I fuck with. It was something like, if you're doing what you love every day, you've already made it. Like, that's it.
100%, and that's the mindset. Bro.
Yeah.
100%. So I'm not saying like it didn't take a while. It took like fucking 15 years for me to even realize that. You know right. What I mean? Like, just because, yeah, dude. So, so after like the first year of the pandemic and stuff, we were all locked in. That's when I just utilized the time to learn. You know what I mean? Learn, fail, try to make stuff, and like trying to understand music theory and putting instruments in the right key and all this stuff. It just took a long time for my brain to learn that stuff. And I'm still learning.
Self-taught? Are you self-taught?
100%, or yeah.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Well,
everything.
I will say, dude, Steph Datsun, my fucking homie, like, he's taught me so much, bro, and like giving me equipment and fucking just like I was a sponge watching him because I was there when he was first starting, bro. I was soaking up all the game, watching him just progress in beat making, dude, kept me so inspired. And he was like an older bro, you know what I mean? And what was dope is we actually met through skateboarding, him and I didn't know like he was making beats at the time. So we just met at the skate park, started skating. And then he was like, yo, check this out. And just fucking started going. And that's crazy. Like,
who would have thought that skateboarding would actually be so crucial to the music?
Bro, which is completely
unrelated.
Bro, it's, they go hand in hand, bro. Honestly, they go hand in hand. And if it wasn't for skateboarding, I probably wouldn't be producing, to be honest. Like, it's,
that's crazy.
It's a weird
universe.
Bro, and like it all happened at the same time too, because when I started skating like a year after the pandemic again, and then I broke my elbow. I snapped it, and dude, that was bad. And then a year later, I hyperextended my knee. And then I was like, after that, I was like, I need a break. You know, yeah, what I mean? Right. Like, I went solid for a good 12 years, like no injuries, nothing. And then the arm and then the knee. And then those were like,
that's a Derrick Rose back to back serious injury.
Bro, it was. And like, dude, I haven't skated in over like a year and a half. And like, that's the first time in my like since I was 12. You know what I mean? Since I picked up a skateboard, I haven't skated in this long. And it's been such like a part of my identity that when I stopped, I felt super lost, bro. I was like, because like all my friends were skateboarding, people like posting clips on Instagram. I'm like seeing it happen and I just want to do it so bad, but I literally physically can't. You know what I mean? And like, so for that period of time of after my knee injury, I was like, who am I? What do I do? You know, and I always go back to the fact that I always had music. I was always doing it. Like I said, making beats maybe once or twice or three times a year. You know what I mean? But after the injuries, bro, I was like, well, I'm going to just go hard with this music then, because it's all I got left.
That's all I got. Yeah.
It's all I got, you know, because dude, yeah. And skateboarding, like I said, it was so, and it's still ingrained in me, but it's like a personality trait. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a culture. It's a brotherhood. It was just everything, bro. Everything. It was skate videos all the time when I get home. People, like I said, and having,
I actually remember those. When did you posted those a long time ago, right? You, like early first ones.
Yeah.
Is that
when
your Instagram page was early on? It was a lot of skate videos, right?
Lots of skate videos, yeah. Bro. Lots of skate videos. And then, like maybe like 6 months after the fucking pandemic started, I started my own skate brand, skate company. And that lasted about a year. And that was awesome, bro. Like I bought a camera. I was filming all the skaters in Windsor. I put together an entire video selling merch. That was awesome. But
no, that's cool.
Yeah. And near the end of that is when like my elbow injury happened, my knee injury happened. It was just like that. And I don't want to talk anything bad about like having your own business in the space that you love, because that fact alone was starting to like make me resent skateboarding. You know what I mean? Because it started to become a job. You know what I mean? And like having to be the guy who needs to always appease the skateboarders in the community is a tough job. And I was like being a filmer, editing the videos, making the merch myself. It was
highly
just
invested. Yeah. When you're that invested, it's hard to appreciate.
And then like the craft. There's my family, my relationship, my personal life, like going, like driving to a skate spot and like filming skateboarders for 4, 5, 6 hours and then like just missing out on a lot of things, bro. It was becoming like personally, it was just becoming too much. You know what I mean? But that once that started to fade, like the music locking into music started to go up. You know what I mean? And now every day I'm like on Ableton, I'm on these on my program to like make more beats. You know what I mean? And so it was like, I try to look at it like chapters, you know what I mean? Like I'm not, no resentment. It was a chapter in my life. It's over. Like turn the page.
Oh, the next now, one. Yeah.
Now what am I doing? You know what I mean? Cause yeah. So I tried, it was blessings in disguise all around, bro. And sometimes the only way to learn it is to break an elbow or to hurt your knee. You know what I mean? Like these crazy lessons get learned. And so I guess that brings us to today in a sense. And so, yeah, just been motivated lately, bro. Honestly.
Let me ask you this, because I know very little about this. When you first, how do we go from like you hearing, you know, I think you said the fourth grade, your teacher saying something and then your head, you hear like this beat or track or whatever you want to call it, something that sounds appealing. How do you go from like, I have this idea to finally getting it to where I'm listening to it on my computer here in Spain? Like what's the, I don't need like the hyper in-depth, like I don't need.
No.
I'm just curious about the steps.
The plan is like no plan, to be honest, to keep it as simple as possible. It's mainly just like it's searching, digging through, looking through my records, downloading samples on the internet. You know what I mean? Just playing, looking for sounds that might inspire something down the road. You know what I mean? It's not like I have an idea for a beat and I'm like, okay, I want to make this idea and I want to go make it right now. You know what I mean? It's more so like, all right, what's in the database? What do I got? Like what records do I got right now that I could go through? You know what I mean? And I'll like search through the vinyl. If I don't find anything, I got like a folder full of samples that I've been downloading throughout the years. And
It sounds like one big egg hunt to
pretty much
find treasure. Yeah.
Bro, it's like you're going shopping at Value Village or something.
Right.
You're like looking for something that's like a gem. You're looking for a gem. And then once it hits, then the wheels start turning. Then it's like, how do I want to chop this up? You know what I mean? So it's like search first, then produce, you know, and
vocals and stuff like that. If you're adding your own vocals.
Yeah. So I know my homie's been hitting me up being like, when are you going to spit on these tracks you're dropping? Like everyone's like expecting me to like spit on these tracks. And it's there.
Cause that's how you started out. You started doing that more. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And for me right now, I'm not fighting anything. I'm not trying to like drop the next track that's gonna make it big for me. You know what I mean? Like I had to let go of that because that expectation was hurting me more than it was gaining me anything.
Yeah.
You know? Like
it's
because like when you think that like, oh, this track or this beat tape or this whatever, this video is gonna be like the next big thing and it's gonna like make me catapult to that next level, but it's like even if it does catapult you to the next level,
nothing changes.
Like, yeah,
the
exactly.
The next day, you're the same person. Bro. Yeah,
bro, exactly, exactly. So, yeah, when I put out beats with where I rap on them, that'll be that. And when I put out beat tapes, you know, that'll be that. You know, it's not like I gotta like put myself in a box and only rap to only. You know what I mean? It's like
I get it.
It's like, man, I just made this. This is put out. Enjoy it. If you don't, that's cool too. I mean, you're gonna scroll past whatever everything during the day, so it's not like
true
I'm bugging or anything, you know. So
but is there a little bit of an element, because in today's society there's a lot of the like, you know, algorithms and there's like you know, analyzing thumbnails, and I mean at least for what I'm doing, like analyzing retention times, all those things are kind of like, it's, you know, it's like a bit of a necessary evil, because yeah, you could completely avoid it, but if you completely avoid it, then you could be like hitting your head against the wall when you know,
like, why
some
isn't
people
it
are afraid
working?
To look why at analytics. Yeah. Why isn't it working? But like, well, did you look at the analytics? Like,
Exactly.
Sometimes I see like, oh, a video didn't do well. I'm like, why did it do well? I thought it was a really good topic and I forgot about it. I just assume it was a bad video. I go back, I'm like, the audio was fucked. Like,
I didn't even.
I fucking uploaded bad audio. Like, what am I doing?
Bro, I know, dude. So you're talking about like the science of it, right?
Yes. Yeah.
You're talking about like and dude, you're right. And that's stuff
the
that
Spotify
I do.
Spotify gods, the algorithms.
Yeah,
the
dude, like when I post something on Instagram and I only get 2 likes, I'm like, God damn that algorithm, man. Why is it? It's not giving me any love today, bro. That fucking algorithm, you know, like what?
What
the
a weird
hell?
Time
like,
we live in. You got to do an algorithm like, dance outside.
I'm like, dude, I'm like, I'm not about to bow down to this motherfucker. There's no way, no way, but. You are correct, bro, with the thumbnails and like
marketing, the packaging. My friend, I have a friend who's actually visiting me, who's a big YouTuber, and he talks to me, we talk about these things a lot, and he's like, packaging is like 90% of it. Like then expected that you deliver, but the packaging is everything.
100%. So that's where my graphic design skills come into play. You know what I mean? Because like I went to school my day job is I'm a graphic designer. You know what I mean?
Okay,
that's what I do. I work for the library in Windsor and I do all the graphics for that. Dude, I'm so thankful. But like it took like 11 different jobs in the past 10 years to get to it. You know what I mean? Like I've worked
it's a hard one to get.
Each year was a new job because I was like, fuck this. I don't want to do this. This sucks. I need something else. You know what I mean? And like so then that's when I went to school for graphic design and I got my diploma, all the bullshit you got to do. And then, yeah, dude. So it's nice to have that skill set when it comes to the packaging side. You know what I mean?
The marketing side of it. Yeah.
Yeah. If I need to make a thumbnail, I know exactly how to do that in like 2 seconds. If I need to fucking edit a video, I know how to do that in like 2 seconds. If I want to add animations, I know how to do that. You know what I mean? So it's like, I mean, that's how it is these days, bro. You got to have a full wheelhouse of
skills
to like get anything done. You know what I mean? If you don't
know
how to
get any eyeballs on your stuff, essentially.
If you don't know how to like export a video or, you know what I mean? Like the small stuff, like it's crazy. So I think
like maybe from an outside looking in, it seems like a relatively easy task because when you see someone upload a video, you don't really think about all the levels of, at least at this level, all the things that went into it. So we're talking about a script. We're talking about knowing how to film a video. We're talking about lighting. We're talking about editing. We're talking about SEO optimization. We're talking about thumbnails. There are so many things that happen for you to see what you see in front of you.
Dude,
it's not an accident that you see what you know.
You're literally preaching, bro. I'm literally going through like just hours, like just filming, trying to film something, dude. It's just like the amount of takes it takes to get that clip. And then you're like, okay, I got to bring this in now. I got to line up the audio. I got to do some coloring. I got to make sure it's exported correctly. Okay, what's the thumbnail I'm using for this? Blah, 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 blah. And like, yeah, dude, it's just what it takes these days, I guess, to be, I don't know.
Successful. See, or in front of the eyes of people. Like successful is a harsh word. I would say like what it takes to be playing in the game, like just to enter the table to get to the blackjack table. This is the minimum, you know?
Exactly. But there is something to say too. It's like focus. Like, so I guess, if I have those skill sets now, for me, I'm just focusing on the quality of what the product is now. You know what
Makes
I mean?
Sense.
So it's like, okay, I have that skill set of how to package. Now it's just like, let's make the best product to me, because that's all I'm going to be able to do is that. But dude, that's welcome to 2024, bro. Like,
part of the game.
Holy cow. Yeah. So I guess that's...
What about streaming music? I guess that's another thing I want to talk to you about, because I also follow Steph, and I saw that during the pandemic, he could no longer perform those shows that he normally does, and it literally blew up his Twitch. I remember in the early days, some of his streams, I don't know, maybe tens of people, and then out of nowhere, hundreds to thousands, it was like, insane to watch.
The early Twitch days, bro, those were sick. Those were good days. I know
pandemic
it was like
Twitch days.
I know. It was crazy because, like, Yeah, dude, no one could perform. No one could perform. No one could. So it was like, well, what do we do now? And I remember having those conversations with him. He was like very like nervous, obviously. And
yeah, that's
like
his income source. That's his life. That's his everything.
Bro, that's everything. So when Twitch came around, that's where like he started to show me that like focusing on the quality is super important, because he had the cameras, the lighting, the setup. Like when you walk into his studio, you see the like the skeleton of what's going on. You know what I mean? And right. You're like, God damn, it takes a lot.
Wiring, no, his set was insane.
Equipment, everything. And he's still streaming, you know? And I applaud him, bro. He's like I said, one of my biggest inspirations, you know? And those days were sweet, because you sometimes, like for me especially, like when I streamed, I'd make more money on streams than I would at playing a show like here in Windsor or something. You know what I mean? Like I'd walk away with like $800 from like in a month from my payout, and I'd be like, what the
right.
Like, damn. Like,
yeah.
But it was all.
You didn't even leave your house.
Bro, I didn't even leave my house. I was wearing sweatpants. I could chill.
Yeah, yeah. We were talking about the pandemic.
Streaming
shows,
dude,
streaming.
Dude.
Making $800 a month just streaming on
dude,
Twitch.
Dude, and like you got to think like how the world was and what money was and what finances were, dude. Like no one was making money. You know, so it's like in desperate times called desperate measures, and you really you got to maneuver with the times, you know? So that's what Twitch was. It was just maneuvering with the times, bro, and trying to put food on our tables, you know? And like it created that opportunity to even connect with more people outside of the local scene. Like that was another benefit to that, is like we were able to, like Steph created a Discord for Twitch, and people started jumping in the Discord and throwing ideas and building a community, and like people we never met before, and some people, like people who Steph met on Twitch, like came to Windsor, like a homie from Twitch came to Windsor, and we all met up and we chill. It was so like, yeah, like taking the positive from it, bro, and just being like, okay, the world's gone to shit right now, what are we gonna do? Let's make the best of it.
Yeah, I mean, that was the only thing you could do. What else could you do? You could just make music and upload it, and you could leave your house.
It's either that
so
or just
stream what you're doing.
Bro, it's 100%, man, 100%. So, like, yeah, dude, it was just like, yeah, and then it started, I'm just thinking about it back in the day, bro, because it was such
it's
at a high.
Reminiscing happily about these moments. Yeah, these are all happy memories.
Such a high, and then as things started to open up, obviously human nature, we won't want to be around other people. Like the streams, like the Twitch streaming started to go down a little bit because like everyone's going out now, you know? So I was just, it was, we squeezed all the juice out of that.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Out of that, bro. That was like, that was a good time, but I haven't streamed in a while, bro. I got to stream again. God damn.
Do you do live performances as well with your music, or like what? How do you do it live? How do you
like
how does that work?
Shows? Like you mean like playing a show?
Yeah. How does that work?
Dude, like I've been very like particular about where I play live, because I've played so many times in Windsor that like it's kind of gotten to a point where it's like, if it's not right, if it's not like 100% right for Windsor, you know what I mean? I'll be very specific on what I do, just because like I said, dude, I'm not out here trying to be like, look at me, I'm about to, you know what I mean? Like check out, you know, like, I don't know how to explain it without sounding pretentious. I'm really not trying to. It's more so just like I'm not in that headspace of like live playing, like going on the road and being like, I need people to see me perform. It's, I don't know, it's just not in my trajectory
goals
right now.
Yeah.
You know, my goal is really to just sharpen the sword, sharpen it to the point where it's like when I get to that point, like, there's no denying, like, even, you know what I mean? Like, that for me is the success, you know, the playing of the shows, that's going to come whether I like it or not. You know what I mean? It's part of the gig. But yeah, dude, I'm not, because I have a day job, I'm not like using shows as like my income either. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, it's not a lot of stress from trying to like perform every night or every other night to earn a living.
Exactly.
It's much better. You can kind of, can be more pure. Yeah. Once the money is heavily involved in the art or the, you know, the passion project, it does dilute it a little bit. It becomes a little, I don't know.
Yeah, man. And like,
coffee doesn't taste as good.
Like I said, I've played the same venue in Windsor so many times throughout my 20s that it's just like, I'm good.
It's not exciting anymore. Is it? It's not that exciting.
Yeah. And like, I recently had a trip to New York. Like, Steph took me with him because he got invited to play a show in New York. And I was like, dude, yes, I will definitely go because I want to check this out so bad. And that was such a dope experience. And it opened my eyes, bro, because it just makes you realize that, yeah, this city that I'm in isn't the world. It's just like a little, it's just a speck, you know? And then once you go outside of that, your eyes open up even more and you're like, there's so much more out here, bro. So it's, and that was a, that
do
was
you
a
need
great.
That? Sorry. Yes. Keep going.
Dude, I do need that. I do 100%. Like,
no, but what I wanted to ask was like, do you to get to another level or to get to where you think your career will be or where you want to be in let's say 10 years from now, can you still do it and stay in Windsor is my question.
You'd have to be established enough that going out and playing shows isn't your income. You know what I mean? Like particularly, and I'll just talk, use Steph as an example right now. I'm not going to go too deep into how he pays his bills and stuff, but
yeah, please.
He made a course on how to make beats and like just diversifying his ability to bring in income alleviates the pressure of having to travel to Los Angeles, New York, just to like
tours and
yeah. And half the time, bro, if you're not like headlining, your like tours are like you're breaking even. If you're not like bringing merch, if you're not like, you know, bringing in pull, if the people of that place don't know who you are, like you don't like the amount of money you're spending on gas, travel, all these things, it's all expenses too, you know? So
I got
Windsor's a great place because things are relatively cheaper than other places in Ontario, like Toronto specifically.
Sure.
And having access to Detroit allows that big city feel without having to travel far. You know what I mean? So
and without like, having to pay the big city.
Right. Price. Exactly. Yeah. So I can pay $5, cross the border, and then be around people that I normally wouldn't be around and then just come back home later that night without just fucking spending over like millions of dollars. So to answer your question, dude, I think it's necessary, but if you're able to diversify your income, it's not necessary, I guess is what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean? So
what if someone comes to you with an offer? What if someone comes in? Okay. Let's hypothetical. If someone comes to you with an offer, says like, hey, we're going to do a show, you know, this band, we need you to come in to New York. We're doing shows twice a week. It would make sense if you're based out of there, at least for like a year, 2 years, like, would you pack up and do it? Or would you be like, no, I still want to do it from my location. I like the freedom that gives me.
It would have to be a fucking sweet deal, bro, in order for that to be the case. Just because like my family is in Windsor, dude. Like I'd have a tough time being away, especially my grandparents. They're at that age where it's like, I don't want to be too far from them and definitely not using it as like an excuse or a crutch, but it's that family to me, dude, is more important than anything. So if it was a deal that was able to pay for me and I can help support them, I would probably take the deal. I'd be like, I would sacrifice the year to do that. But it, like I said, it would have to be a really good proposition in order for that to be the case. You know, it's sometimes like you get dangled that fruit, in front of you.
Yeah,
exactly. And you're just like, damn, that could be, you know, but yeah.
Could be tempting.
It's like 90% of the time, it's not worth it. You know what I mean? Like, it's really not worth it, especially like, yeah, I'm not the type of guy to sacrifice my integrity
for a bag.
Dude, it's just, it's not worth it because as fast as that bag came in, is as fast as it's about to fucking leave, bro. And that,
yeah, it means nothing. It's so irrelevant, especially as we get older, we realize how irrelevant it is.
Bro, and like the way
a couple thousand extra a month doesn't change anything if you're already like living comfortably. No, it doesn't do anything.
No, it's not about to change anything, you know. So it's really worth, and like, yeah, like that probably that carrot would have been worth it when I was 20, 21, you know, ignorant, gullible, and just wanting attention, right? Like that's what kind of growing up was. And
right.
Yeah, the older you get, the more you realize it's like, yeah, no one cares about you more than you, bro. No one's going to try and like push you to that next level more than you, you know? So once you realize that, bro, you're just like, yeah.
Yeah, I remember, I'll tell you a funny story. So as I was about to quit engineering, my original plan was to quit engineering and go study abroad in Spain just simply because I wanted to get out and I was bored of my environment. I actually had no ability to make income from this other thing that I'm currently doing, which is content creation and YouTube and stuff like that. So on my last week of work in engineering, mind you, I've already secured my papers for Spain. I have the university. I've been accepted. I start school within a year. And this is before the pandemic. And I go into work and I tell my boss, like I've been there for about 8 months at this point. And I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna have to quit. He's like, really? Yep. What's going on? He's like, like I thought you were gonna stay on this department forever. You're a young guy. We hired you to be here for a while.
Forever?
And I'm like, no, I'm gonna have to give that a miss. I'll have to quit. I'm sorry.
Oh, he's boy.
Like, he's like, is it the money? I was like, no, I have a here's a paper. I'm going to university. I'm leaving. I'm like, I'm leaving the country. I'm leaving the continent. I'm going to Spain. Like, I'm out. He's like, we could pay you 10% more, you know. I'm like, my man, it's over.
Jeez,
you
gotta let it go. Like dangling that.
It's like a relationship where the one toxic person can't admit that it's over. I'm like, my man, look at me, it's over. You gotta let it go.
Boy.
But it was a funny moment. It was just like it was a funny moment because it was like it's almost like you're out of the matrix, but it's one last like tug to see if they can keep you in it, you know?
So I always
remember that moment. I'm like, damn, he just offered me like 10% at that time was like $10,000 extra a year.
Yeah, I was like,
it ain't going to change nothing. Like if I make 70 or 80K as an engineer, who gives a fuck?
I'm not. Yeah, no, exactly, bro. Exactly, bro. And like, not to like get too apolitical, but once you realize what the Canadian dollar is and what banks actually are, you're kind of just like, yeah, that 80,000 that I think I'm gonna get probably is is like 50,000 if I think about it, after just like the worth of the Canadian dollar slash what taxes are in this country. So you kind of you definitely made the right decision, bro.
The other thing is that people, I think this is a big thing that people forget. It's like, just because someone, and this goes with like any job that you maybe don't like or is boring or that you don't want to do. It's like, just because they offer you 80, 90, 100, 60, whatever the amount is, that doesn't mean you get that money today.
No,
that means
you
have to work a year in the thing that you hate to get the money.
Bro, the guy was like, I thought you were going to be here forever. You're like,
yeah, what? Like, that's the one thing that really was like kind of unfortunate when I first started doing engineering. When I got a job, I was like, I negotiated a contract and it was like a really good pay. I was like 70, 80,000 American, I think, at the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, like 80, let's fucking go. I told the boys, like, drinks on me tonight. And then I sat there and I'm like, well, Monday I have to be at work at 8. So that means I have to wake up at 6.
You're not getting the whole thing.
Yeah. And then I'm like, fuck, I got to do that 5 days a week. I got to do that 5 days a week for a whole year. Oh, I was like, dude, as soon as that hit me, I was like, This is not that, like, it's, I know it sounds pretentious maybe because that's obviously a good amount of money, but the reality is, like, you're not just going to get handed that money. You have to earn that money. You have to
exactly.
go to work and get that
money. You got to think about what you're sacrificing in order to get that.
You're looking at the gold that you are being thrown, but the reality is you have to mine that gold. You have to find it. Yep. You have to go get that. You have to find it. It's not like you just get here's 70K. Good luck.
Yeah. You're not thinking about
it's not an NBA contract.
You're not thinking about the pathway there. You're just thinking about the prize.
The bag at the end. The pot at the end of the rainbow.
So how long have you been in Spain for?
Since last November. So about a year and a couple months.
Okay, damn. So how long is the program that you're in?
So, long story short, the pandemic happened. The school started
online.
Oh,
that was around that time, eh?
Yeah, I quit the job. Pandemic happened. School started online. I did a year of online masters. As I was doing masters, I was applying for like remote, like content creator related jobs, social media manager jobs.
Yep.
Ended up getting an offer that was way better than any engineering salary in Spain. I said, fuck it. Don't need engineering. I'm going to do this full time.
Yeah.
Fully remote, live here. So I actually didn't finish that degree and it's still waiting for me at the University of Barcelona. I have one semester and one thesis left if I ever want to.
For the clout.
It wouldn't even be for like, I wouldn't need it.
Exactly. I have a
master's in engineering. I'm a special snowflake.
Fuck, bro. That's amazing though. You just said no more of this. I'm going to go chase what brings me enjoyment.
That's it. That was the only decision making left, because at that point I was already like, you know, approaching the end of my 20s. I was like, dude, I've tried this. I did three different jobs.
Yeah.
I don't like doing this. Like, I don't, why am I like lying to myself?
Exactly.
So I have to be brutally honest. I'm like, the other thing is like, you have to be honest. If you don't like doing something, that you're kind of like on a train track, but you're going in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to stay on the train. The train is comfortable. It's a nice ride. But the longer you stay, the longer you have to go back. So get off at the first stop and take your loss and then start going back the other way. Like you're going the wrong way.
And like that's what's sold to people is the comfort bit, is the comfortability.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like that's what people buy. Like that's what people,
that's what they want to hear. Like, that's going to be a comfortable ride. First class, we're going to have food for you. You're like, but
nah, dude. That's very eye-opening too, you know? And
we did 50 minutes, believe it or not. That flew by. I had a lot of fun. I also wanted to ask you, I guess, long-term, what is your big dream? What is your aspiration? Obviously, short-term, you told me you're just working on getting your music out, getting better, sharpening the sword. But in an ideal world, do you take time to think about what best case scenario is or what you do want to achieve?
If I can put a roof over my head and pay for my bills with the thing that I love to do, that to me is the successful goal. There's no like, I want to get on Apple's top 5 playlist. It's not like that specific, you know, it's more so like if I can figure out a way to sustain a happy and healthy life while doing what I love to do, that'll be amazing. And like we've talked about before, bro, it's not a comfortable ride either. And that's the realization. It takes time to realize that it's not going to be easy because you just want it to be. You know what I mean? It's like, I want, like, why didn't my post get more than 2 likes? But, oh, I want to quit right now. But it's like, no, dude, you got to tell yourself that it's like, it's not going to be easy and it's going to take time. So it's just like the long-term goal, bro, is, like I said, being able to just support myself and my personal life with everything that I do with what I love to do. You know what I mean? And that's, and it comes with so much more detail. You know what I mean? It's like, are you going to post on Spotify or are you going to just do Bandcamp? Are you just going to, how are you going to promote this? What's your plan for that? And that's all, that just comes with it. You know what I mean? You have to continuously tell yourself that just keep going, you know, just keep going. Don't worry about it. Just keep going. Don't worry. You know? So yeah.
That's a really good point. That's a good point. I had a conversation with someone like closer to me and they said like, oh, this didn't do this well, or like, are you making enough to like live off this And to both answers, I said, yeah, no, I didn't do well. No, I didn't make enough. No, this isn't close enough to what I wanted. And he's like, well, when are you going to quit? I was like, probably never.
Yeah, no,
I was like, probably never. The conclusion was the same. Like, I love doing it. I don't care. Like, I'm stubborn. I'll keep doing it.
Dude, exactly. And like,
and if I don't figure it out, I'll find something on the way that I think will be worthwhile.
Exactly, bro. And like we said before, dude, it's not like, oh, this one opportunity that I have coming up is going to be sustainable for the next 3 years. It's like that one opportunity is going to help for the next 3 weeks. But it's like, what's after that? You know what I mean? You're still going to be on that same base level. And I have to like continuously tell myself that it's like this one project isn't going to catapult me to where I want to that.
Yes.
Feeling
it's
of
not
being,
an A to, it's not just an A to B. It's like we said, it's like an A to a C to a D to a F.
Exactly,
like who knows where the hell we're going.
Bro. So when I zoom out and think on a macro level, that's what my answer to that. You know what I mean? Is
that's,
like,
that's great. Yeah.
Is knowing that continuously sharpening the sword will have the outcome of a very sharp sword, I guess you could say.
Right,
you know what I mean? But like,
it seems stupid to say it out loud, but it makes complete sense.
Exactly,
when you think about
bro.
It.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly, man. So
it's beautiful. I mean, I'm a fan. I enjoy your music,
dude. And I just want to say, I want to say thanks, bro, for being one of the very few people who actually purchased the tape online. And it's like, you know,
it's
what,
fire.
Bro?
I mean,
like,
I think most people should give it a rip. Honestly, it's fire. I'm going to send it to as many people as I
can. I honestly, that means so much, you know, and that right there is also fuel for what I do. You know what I mean? Hearing people's interpretations, them having such positive feedback is like, damn, okay, like sick. I'm about to like feel energized to go in the studio now. You know what I mean? So
that's a beautiful part of life. No, that's a beautiful part. Because there's times in my life when I was doing stuff that like all it took was like one person to say, yeah, that was pretty funny, dude. I was like, really?
That's all it takes.
I was like, damn, someone liked that? And I'm like, okay, I'll make more of that. And then at some point it's like, oh, 100 people like that? And I just don't even pay attention anymore. I'm just going to keep doing it now.
Exactly, bro. Exactly, man. So, nah, dude, I really appreciated this, man, honestly.
That was a fun conversation. I'll leave links to Instagram or Bandcamp. What would you?
Yeah, Instagram and Bandcamp would be perfect, bro. Yeah.
Okay, we'll make some clips out of this. We're gonna make some cool fire clips.
Sweet, man.
We'll learn again. Like if you ever want to do this again,
dude,
I'm always
up for it. I love having conversations, man. Anytime you have questions or you want to do a pod, just hit me up, bro. Honestly.
Beautiful. Thanks for your time.